Blog Talk Radio.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero.
And Anthony Sinandrius.
Yeah, oh, it's like that's just how I feel today, because it's free comic book day. Also,
yeah.
By the way, yeah, if you were unaware of this, if you didn't see our page or anything about that, it's or, you know, you just didn't have the time, you just got off of work, it's fine. You still have a chance to go to your local comic book store. I know some comic book stores close a bit early, but I know there are a few, like let's say in Manhattan, if you're in New York, or even, you know, if you're not in New York, I'm sure there's some that, you know, stay open a bit later. So definitely try to go there. I mean, you know, not every comic is free, obviously. But what they do is they make a lot of specific free comics that we'll go into later. But if you saw the link on our website, there are a lot of cool comics, I think, where, you know, if you're an adult, there's actually a lot for you to enjoy. If you're a child, you know, if you have a child, I really think that, you know, they'll love the SpongeBob, the Powerpuff Girls. I mean, heck, even, I think, you know, people like, you know, adults, right? We're adults, right?
Yeah,
we'd like Powerpuff Girls and SpongeBob as well. It's just that I know certain places have you can only take three or you can only take two policy. So it really becomes a bit, you know, scary on what you want to take. We had to frequent two comic book stores, and I may even frequent another one later on tonight, because I didn't pick up a Power Rangers issue in the first place, because I thought, oh, the second place might have one. They did not. I already picked up my three in the first place. I'm going to scour, you know, for Power Rangers, and if I find it, next week we'll be talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I need to find this thing. So anyway, first what I would like to say is we also, at the few comic book stores that we went to, they also had sales, really nice sales, you know, mostly, like, usually, you know, half off, right? Great stuff. And I would like to mention right now that, you know, what we got. So, Anthony, you first. What were you able to get on Free Comic Book Day? For half price. What were you able?
All right. Well, I was able to pick up the last four issues I needed to complete my Winter Soldier series from 2012, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
They had them all half off. I got a Superman Prime Tales of the Sinestro Corps number one. I originally had a copy, but the staple fell out, so now it's like all in pieces. So now I finally have one that's like perfect condition. I can read it. And those are pretty much my back issue pickups. You want to go over the rest of the stuff or no?
Well, no, we'll talk about the free comics a bit later, but
gotcha.
I would like to say that I actually saw when his staple fell out. He was crying in the rain. It was terrible. Why he had a comic out in the rain, I had no idea. But
it didn't rain until it fell out, but, you know.
No, yeah, it didn't rain until it fell out. So, all right, so I picked up some very fun things. Usually when I go buy comics, I mean, I like to buy newer stuff, but usually I say, you know what, I'm just going to go for very obscure, confusing. I mean, I got a few backlog issues, but some very confusing things. So let's start off with my backlog first. My backlog, you know, I'll have things like Legends of the Dark Knight, which I actually was unable to pick up. They have a new 100-page Super Spectacular, which is basically their way of saying, hey, let's just throw some more digital ones into there, and we won't release them as often. Okay? All right. I got Batman 66, which is a great series. If you haven't been reading it, definitely pick it up. It actually is a Batman series that is set in the 1966, you know, live-action series where we had Adam West as Batman. So definitely check that out. So I was able to pick up a few of those things where you think, all right, yeah, those are normal. There's nothing weird about that. Where can we go wrong? Well, everyone listening, one person listening. All right, so here's what I have. I have Batman versus Punisher. Yes, this exists. Now, this Batman isn't even the Batman that you're thinking of. No. This is the Batman when Azrael took over the position. Azrael being a man who, All right, so remember this, if you don't know anything about this, remember the third Batman movie when Bane, you know, broke Batman's back, right? Remember that whole thing? I'm sure y'all do, right? So that was, it was meant to be, you know, a man who Batman was already training, who was kind of this, this badass is what I'll call him, and he ends up taking up the Batman, you know, the Batman role, and he does it for a while in comic book universe. He does it for a while. So that guy, you know, in this Punisher, I guess maybe when they wanted to do the Punisher crossover, he was Batman. So they were just like, all right, sure, whatever. So, yeah, so we have him in his golden suit with the claws. I'm not making this up, everyone. Google's your friend.
It's true.
Yes. Also, I got Batman versus Aliens. Another thing. Yes, it exists. Google. I ended up getting, and the list continues, I ended up getting Batman versus Predator, book 1 of 3. But please don't fret, because I also got Batman versus Predator 2, book 2 of 4. It was so good they made it twice. Also, we have Batman Run Riddler, which is actually a series that Anthony recommended me. He has an issue himself, and once I purchase the issue from him, I will have the full set. So we shall keep in contact, Anthony.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Also, the list just gets better and better. I have here Super Soldier. Now, many of you may not know what Super Soldier is. I'm going to tell you what Super Soldier is. Okay. So Marvel and DC, right, back in the day, they've been able to, you know, they've had crossovers. Like we just mentioned, Punisher, Batman. They've had Batman, Spider-Man. They've had a few others, right? This one specifically is a universe that they made where what if the characters were combined? So what if we had something like someone called Darkclaw, right, who's a combination of Wolverine and Batman? I know how it sounds, and you're right. So currently we have Super Soldier, who is a combination of Superman and Captain America. Now, I'm actually, from what I've seen on the internet, I think this may be the only issue released.
It is.
Wow.
Well, for Super Soldier, anyway.
For Super Soldier. So, yeah, and his costume, it's great. It's just Captain America's costume, except there's no helmet. It's just kind of like, there's a face mask, but the top just opens up to have that,
kind of
you
like
know, blonde hair. Yeah, blonde hair with the Superman curl up. And then we also have him with a Captain America shield, except that it's a Superman logo on it. I'm going to read the hell out of this.
Frame it on the wall.
Also, while it wasn't under the sale banner because it wasn't a back issue, it was still an amazing find. Speaking of crossovers, The Incredible Hulk versus Superman.
Oh, I'm still jealous of that.
For $20, yeah, I was extremely excited with that. I was like, oh my god! And now here's where things get interesting. If any of you have ever heard of Superman Secret Identity, I'm really nervous. I don't want to get killed. If anyone knows about Superman Secret Identity, it's an amazing you know comic book, right? It's so good that whenever it gets released, whenever a new version gets reprinted, it immediately becomes out of print, out of stock. Everyone everywhere flocks to go get it, and it's very hard to pick up. So I'm not saying I got a newer edition. I'm not saying that I got a new reprinting. What I am saying is that I somehow managed to come across the first and second issues because there were only two parts, and it was released as a 100-page spectacular for both. So yes, everyone, I was somehow able to find the first two printings. Sorry, the first two issues of this, because I assume they weren't first printings. We never know, right? There's a reason why they were so cheap, I'm sure. But, because I don't want to confuse people who are actual comic book fans. No, they are not. I'm pretty dang sure they're not first printings. However, I would like to say that, yes, they are the 100-page spectacular versions before it actually became a graphic novel. That worries me if only because I don't want snipers. You know, I see.
I was about to say, you should probably lead line your windows tonight.
I really should. I'm really nervous. Also, I found a pack of WCW cards for any wrestling fans out there. And they were $1 each pack. And I'm every single time I go, to this comic store, I'm going to buy these cards. It's wonderful. Like, let's look at the cards that I found. Ready? The Fabulous Freebirds, Z-Man, Lex Luger, Steiner Brothers, Sting. Before, this is cool though, this is Sting before he adopted the face paint, so he has the blonde hair and like some face paint, but not Sting, the one that, I'm sure many of us know and love. Ric Flair, the Steiner Brothers again. I think that they literally just like will take a different picture and be like, yeah, these are the guys. This is them. Sid Vicious, Ric Flair again, Southern Boys, and the last one, who still works at WWE, by the way, in a backstage role, Arn Anderson. I'm going to buy more of these cards, because why the hell not, am I right?
But you don't know, you got to remember how this works. If we see something we like there, it won't be there when we go back.
Yeah, so when we go back, someone would have probably, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if someone, because they're $1 each, so I wouldn't be surprised if someone walks in there and sees that there's only 30 of them and just pays $30 for the set. I would not even be freaking surprised. And that's what angers me the most, I think, is that it'll be there. It'll be gone next week. It was like, but it was a pack of cards. There were tons of packs. How? And these are clearly the originals, by the way, because I look in the back and it says 1991. There is no way, of there being, like, some kind of cool WWE reprinting. Like, no. These are the original cards. But moving forward, let's go with this week in comics, and then later on we'll talk about the free comics that we were able to obtain, some really good stuff. But first, let's start with The Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Okay.
Yes. Now, the reason why... I loved it, by the way. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it.
Yes. And the reason why I think I loved it, hopefully, you feel the same, is because it was just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt whimsical. Like, it felt nice. It felt like, after something like Doc Ock and what he was doing, I'm not saying Doc Ock's run wasn't fun, by the way. Spock, as some would call him. I'm not saying it wasn't fun. So Superior had its moments, right? But I just feel as if, it makes me appreciate Peter even more now.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel like it's like, you're back, baby, like, come into my arms. I love you. That's how it makes me feel. Also, by the way, if you want to speak about any of the comics today, including what you may have gotten at Free Comic Book Day, please call us at 718-664-9468. The number again is 718-664-9468. We would love to hear your stories because, hey, Free Comic Book Day. It's basically a holiday, except, being an actual holiday. But it's just like it, though.
It's pretty close.
Right? Pretty damn close. There's sales. It's a Saturday. I got off from work today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, too, if you had a job. We all get off from work today. It's Saturday. Mostly, it's Saturday. So it's like, maybe it is a holiday. But anyway, so Amazing Spider-Man. I like change. Change can be good every once in a while. But I just think that, the change back, it's just, I don't know, I'm just a huge fan of the comedy. I'm a huge fan of Peter Parker making jokes and I think that it's, even though it's a Fallout issue, it wasn't drowned out with all this talking. No, like, you immediately start to get into Peter trying to fix his life but still wanting to be Spider-Man and being happy with what he's been given. He's being beaten down because he's Peter Parker and he's Spider-Man. So of course they're not going to make him all, have the best luck, let's say. But I do have to say that I just really like that Peter is happy right now, where he isn't down in the dumps, he isn't depressed. Mm-hmm. And I hope they keep that going for a bit.
Oh, yeah. And I love that there were a lot of really cool callbacks to events or just little things that happened before Superior. Like, there was one thing where, there's a whole sequence when he's fighting crime in web undies and a mask. And that sequence was fantastic. And the part when, towards the end of the sequence, they're getting him live on TV, and his one thing that he says is, I don't need any of my friends to see this, especially the Human Torch. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there was a two-issue, I guess, miniseries kind of thing way back when, where Spider-Man became incredibly popular in New York, and kind of stole the spotlight from Human Torch, who got a little pissed about it. So he asked Spider-Man, how can it be more popular? And pretty much Spider-Man said, well, why don't you just team up with me for a bit, boost your image? So naturally, the villain they come across together is Hydro Man. And naturally, they come across him in a water park. So Human Torch flames on. Hydro Man washes over him, and he is completely nude in the middle of a water park. So Spider-Man has to web him some underwear to fight crime in.
That's actually such a wonderful nod. Something I also want to mention, in case people don't know, even back in the day, definitely pick up some Spider-Man Essentials. They're basically, they aren't like the Masterworks. Masterworks are, either one, they are collections of older comics, be it Spider-Man, be it Daredevil, be it Punisher. However, the Essentials are black and white, more like, let's say, your manga, your Japanese manga, where the Masterworks are in color. However, you get less for your Masterworks, and they're more money. You get, let's say a $25 Masterworks could only have maybe 10 issues or something, where an Essentials can be $20, and you'll get 20 issues. You know, it's a very great deal. I have a lot of Essentials myself. Going back way into the early 60s when Spider-Man first came out, it's extremely funny because the Torch and Spider-Man still have this rivalry, which is great how it still goes on to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm such a huge fan of that, where I remember Spider-Man, Peter would feel kind of upset because no matter who, Human Torch, no matter who Johnny Storm is, be it Human Torch or be it himself, he goes around without a mask, and all the ladies love him. And that little resentment there, and I really like that it's been able to carry on, and it's something that even now, in 2014, we can just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and of course it was hilarious. I mean, I didn't know about that Hydro Man scene, but yet still, with their rivalry, it's still a hilarious thing to see.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The fact that it was, the scene had cut to Torch's favorite bar. Oh, yeah, it was great. One little thing, I think. It was a little thing that I thought was a bit upsetting. I know we have a sliding timeline, and if you don't know what a sliding timeline is, it's basically, we're not sitting here saying, oh, yeah, Spider-Man started in the 60s, because then Peter would be in his 60s. Like, he would be way too old, because he was a teenager in 1963. However, it's just bad that they tried to make Peter, they were like, oh, when Peter got bit, it's like 17 years ago. And it's like, really? No, 13 years ago. It's like, really? Peter was 17? Really? Now he's only 30? Really?
Well,
I mean,
Batman's...
I'm happy they put it... Yeah, what?
I was going to say, Batman's been like 30 for like 75 years, so it's not that
fair
bad.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But it's still... Well, remember, though. No, he hasn't. He had growth, as in DC decided that growth was bad. Hence the new 52.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Now I'm going to jump on DC's practices for no reason, which is something everyone should do, by the way. Like, just eat at the dinner table and then talk badly about DC out of nowhere. It's great. So anyway, so DC could have, at the very least, made another Batman series for purists who wanted, the series to be, like, in his prime. And it could have been in Batman's prime in the current day. They could have just done that with one series. And then had the other series be the canon one that goes on to, like, Batman's 80, to where we get to basically Batman Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done that, but no. Complete canon wipe away. Except not really, because most of Batman's adventures have still happened. Just in the span of a smaller time span, and the fact that Batman is a lot younger now and all of the Robins are a lot closer in age. Other than that, though, pretty much everything happened just like you read it. Because the change was so needed because of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not angry, though. I'm not bitter at all.
Not at all.
So the thing is, it's like, I understand, what I do like, though, even though there was, like, that whole 13-year thing, which sounds, again, I'm like, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. They showed someone else being bitten by the spider.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that besides what we saw?
No.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to be this new character they're going to introduce into the Spider-Man canon called Silk. We know nothing about her yet other than that her name is Silk. We've seen her costume so far, which is pretty much a black onesie with webs just all over it. We don't know if she's good, if she's bad, but supposedly she's going to play a very big part in Spider-Man's life now that he's back. And we're going to find out what she's been doing this entire time, like where she's been, if she's had powers the entire time, what she's done. That's supposed to happen, I believe, in number, I want to say maybe 5 or so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. I would love to see, you know, what happens there. Because I think that's, you know, because I think, I mean, it's, I do think that it's kind of, you know, stupid to kind of just introduce her out of nowhere where it's like, all right, we've had this huge, long canon. Now she appears, right? But at the same time, I do think new characters are still great and they're fresh for the, you know, for the mythos because, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we really just going to run around with Peter Parker, you know, Black Cat and MJ and whoever other rogues for, like, the next 80 years? You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Remember something? Yeah, I mean, remember something. You know, there were characters, I mean, the symbiote suit was introduced in the 80s. Meaning that for a long time, since the series was made in... It was 1963, yes?
Yeah.
Was the first... Yes. I always get confused because 1966 was when Doctor Who was created. Actually, sorry, 1963. Again, confused all around. Timey-wimey, all that stuff. Anyway, so, yes, it's... So it took a while for them to even introduce symbiote, but people loved it, and here we are with it. Introducing new things is good, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I feel like she's going to serve a really big part in the upcoming Spider-Verse storyline.
Yes, I think it'll be nice. I think so far, Amazing Spider-Man is going off to a great start. Definitely pick it up if you haven't already. There are some more stories in it, but they're mostly side stuff that we're not going to cover today. But I think that it's still very entertaining. So definitely, you know, pick it up, and I'm sure you guys will love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we move on to Eternal.
Okay.
Tell me, Eternal number 4, by the way. So we've gotten to month 1, right? It's happened. Because Eternal's been released on a weekly basis. So, yeah, now here we are. So, what do you think about Eternal?
Well, one thing I was really happy about is we both kind of call the whole thing with Stephanie Brown's mother being in on her, the father being a supervillain.
Right.
I didn't expect it to go down the way it did.
I have to be honest. I think I said it more as a joke.
Did you really? Because I was being so serious.
I don't remember. I probably was serious last week, but I think I meant it more with a, maybe not a joke, more of a sarcastic tone, I believe, where I thought, like, oh, you know, if the dad's in on it, of course the mom's in on it. Or as a twist where, you know, if they're going to do this with the dad, of course they're going to do this with the mom. But I, for some reason, I don't know, I just thought that I really was thinking when I was reading it this week that the mom was going to be killed on the other end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that would set her, you know, to run away. But no, it's just, oh yeah, wait there, honey. Just calls the husband. We have a problem here.
Yeah, and the best was that she called him on a television screen.
Yes, that too, by the way. It's like, all right, we're not in the 80s. Thinking of how the 2000s should look. Guys, we're in 2014. Think about that and the fact that, I don't know, I feel really, now I want to know about their relationship, I think, more than anything, because stories were making you think, like, the storyline was leading us to believe that they got divorced because, you know, either, you know, the dad's a supervillain, so he wasn't around, or the mom learned, and it's like, all right, we're separating, something like that, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's just, I don't think I feel the same way about you anymore, but you're cool with the whole murder and mayhem thing? Since the first day we met, sweetie.
It's never been an issue.
That's never been an issue. It's the, you know, it's like, so then what is it then? I'm sorry, it's just sometimes you just fall out in touch and you just don't love someone the same way anymore. I understand, sweetie. I'm gonna go snap someone's neck. Of course, sweetie, it's your job.
If only you showed me that much attention and affection.
Yes, pretty much. That's it. That's what it is. It was about his work, but not in that way. It was completely
okay.
No, not at all. Yeah, no. But seriously though, I don't know. I thought there were a few key moments in this issue where I was like, oh, good issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's starting to get into that lull where they really shouldn't be doing this weekly.
Yeah, because I mean they are going to. Yeah, I mean, one of the main things they said is they're going to explore every corner of Gotham. which is cool, but it's how long can that really be cool? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like they're trying to juggle a lot. I mean, it's going well so far in terms of juggling the storylines, but if you're going to go deeper into Gotham, how much can you really put in one issue with all of Gotham? Because, I mean, a lot goes down in that city every day.
Yeah, no, what they need to do, I think, if they're really going to do that, they need to make people feel as if, hey, maybe this month we actually might not see so much of Batman. We'll see bits, but it might be more about Stephanie Brown's crisis because now everyone's trying to kill her. Oh, it might be about, let's say, Joker. You know, not Joker, sadly. They'll never introduce him because this is canon. But, you know, they can do little things here and there where I think it can work out if, let's say, for a two-week basis, we see minimal Batman, but we see more of other characters who will one day be entwined with him, like Stephanie Brown.
Yeah.
I think that'll be cool. But I think that, I don't know, something about this issue. First off, the art took a nasty hit.
Yeah, I had no idea the
art
changed. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to change, and I opened it. I was like, whoa.
Ugh, yeah, that was one thing. Two, I just felt like it was skippable because, okay, Barbara's investigation was great, right?
Yeah.
The end was great, but those aren't all the pages. Like, those are actually only a few things. Like, out of the entire book, that was actually very minimal.
It was like five pages, maybe.
Yeah, so everything else just felt very, I don't know, it just, I just feel as if, you know, they really are not, I don't know, I feel as if this would have been better suited as maybe as a monthly. I think they really need to make that transition into monthly after maybe eight issues.
Maybe even bi-monthly.
Exactly. Bi-monthly, I think, would be excellent. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I really think that it's just not, it's, I don't know, think about it like this. If by four issues people are kind of thinking, I don't know, that's not a good thing at all. You know,
not at all.
It's your first month. You should be thinking, whoa, I will admit, with Gordon being in jail, it does make you think, damn, what's going to happen next? Like, is this guy going to die? And, you know, and you're kind of nervous. He's not, obviously, because he's Gordon, which sucks. But you still think, like, oh, you know, like, what is going to happen to him? Because he can still get severely beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Just, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Getting crippled like your daughter, mother. Like, getting beaten up. We're all very confused. Just, why is Bert beating up, why is Ernie beating up, why is Ernie, just, I'm going to cripple the shit out you, bitch.
What's his
Ernie
problem
just,
with
yeah,
Gordon?
Yeah, kick him, Bert, kick him. Reverse.
What's their beef with Gordon?
Yeah, I don't know. Find out next week.
Oh.
Kermit the Frog saves him with a shiv. I'm going to get you both, Sadly, he waved his arms too much, and then, you know, and then Cookie Monster just, you know, stabbed him, and it was very cruel. But don't worry, it's gonna happen. It's if you think I'm kidding, it's actually in the previews. You should check online. DC likes to spoil everything, right? But
get me started.
So moving forward, right? So we've seen those. So I would like to jump to Silver Surfer.
Sure.
I actually forgot that it was coming out. I did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of funny because I forgot it was coming out, and then you mentioned to me just today, oh, hey, there's two issues so far. And I think
the main selling point I gave you was that the writer's a big Doctor Who fan, and he based a lot of this off Doctor Who. He even gave the Silver Surfer a companion. And I think at that point you're like, well,
a British companion, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, everything about this, you can tell, like, all right, yeah, he likes, also, just some of the writing, when you would say things like the most important person in the world, like, it just, I was sitting here thinking, okay, Dr. Surfer.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, and the best thing is that
Silver Who.
The best thing is the writer for the series also writes Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes, it is Dan Slott, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Which I critique him for a lot of stuff in Superior, because he also wrote Superior. But honestly, good job on Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he does a very good job with the technobabble. Although I will admit, though, Silver Surfer was a bit hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that. So it's not as if you're not a comic book fan and you want to jump into Silver Surfer, you can do it. You know, it's not hard to follow as if, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know what's happening here because of comic book lore. It's just, some of the ideas were just, it was very trippy, is what I'll say.
Yeah,
and
it's not like they're
going to...
Yeah, and it's not like they're going to throw terms at you like the Cree Queen or the God's Whisper, and you're like, what are they talking about? It's just like you said, there's a lot to kind of keep up with.
Exactly, exactly. And that was, by the way, a reference to Winter, you know, it was into, I was about to say Winter Soldier. It's like, well, he's in it, but no,
yeah.
It's all new invaders.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which is something that you can pick up an issue, but, you know, maybe wait to TPB that. But that didn't come out this week, so we don't need to really focus on that.
Yeah.
But, I just think it's very weird and confusing. But as we both said, not in a way that means that you can't get into it. I mean, it's very funny. I'm a really big fan of The Companion. I really do think, though, that this is just an episode of Doctor Who. Which to some of you may be something that you'd enjoy, to some of you maybe not. Because I will admit, this Companion, she's very strong, she's very tough, she's very, you know, strong-willed, she doesn't need to be saved. And she even said to Silver Surfer at one point, hey, don't worry, I'm going to save you. And he was very confused. So
he was like, what?
Yes. Yeah, it's a very weird vibe, I think, but I'm loving it. So, yeah,
I love the art style, though. Like, in the first issue when you had that two-page spread of the Impericon,
we have ourselves a caller.
We have ourselves
a caller I would like to have on. Just, hello, caller.
Hello, true believers.
Hello, Daniel.
I still have to work on my Stanley.
I knew it was Daniel. No, Stanley was pretty good. I just knew it was Daniel because who calls and does voices? But Daniel. So Daniel, how was your free comic book day?
Unfortunately, I had to miss it because I had a funeral. So
I'm very sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry,
but please remember that a lot of these comic books will be online, so you can definitely check those out.
Yeah.
You know, I myself am going to be checking some out. You know, some of the ones I missed, you know, if I can't pick up a Power Rangers one, I'll definitely be checking that out. You know, and of course, you know, definitely keep on listening and hear our recommendations. Great voice, though.
Very good.
No, it was a really good voice. But, so I will see you at the college place. I know Daniel from college, everyone. I go to college, everyone. Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
So definitely check these comic books out, though. I'll probably send you some links to definitely, you know, possibly buy a few. What's great is these free comics in about a month from now will be $5 a piece. I want everyone to know this. Oh, no. Haven't you seen that before, Anthony?
Yeah.
We've seen them at a comic shop we go to sometimes.
Yeah. Just where it's just like where it's because, you know, and also remember that some of these will never be reprinted. So it's kind of a thing where it's like, all right, this, you know, even though it's not free anymore because it will never be in anywhere, you know, in other books or anything. But it's
much
very
like last
fun.
Year's Walking Dead.
Exactly. Much like last year's Walking Dead free preview. So thankfully, that did get scanned and put online for the few who couldn't find it because it's Walking Dead. Some of these, though, may just fade into obscurity, which is a bit sad.
Hmm.
But anyway, Daniel, thank you for calling in. You had a great voice.
Going.
You know, you don't have to work on it because it was actually really damn good. it's just that it's you. You know, I know it's you, Daniel. Yeah.
I didn't because I really thought Stan Lee called for a second. It's like, whoa, Stan Lee knows about you.
Yeah, right. It's I got Mr. Lee to call in.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though? Just Stan Lee calling us.
Just imagine. I want him to call us, though, and just destroy us. Just, hello, true believers. You're really bad at your job. I'm not convinced that you even like comic books, but I am convinced that you're both virgins.
Thank you,
and then just hangs up on us. Yeah, he spoke to us, and then we immediately just get hung up on. Bye, Stan Lee. Stanley hung up. Honestly, that would him saying that would be my opening audio for the show for about a good year or so. All right, but Daniel, thank you for calling in, and of course, you know, definitely keep on listening to our podcast. We have a lot more coming up, a lot more of the free comics we got coming up because we are just getting started.
All right.
Let's look at what we have here. Because both you and I actually got different comics, Anthony. Not completely, but a few of them were different. So I would like to just take a chance to... Well, okay, the first one that we both got, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Which, I would like to ask, is it going to be reprinted? Because it's actually a prequel.
It's got it has three stories in it.
Guardian?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it does. What am I saying? Of course it does. However, I did not read any of the future stories. I was referring to the first story. The
like
actual
where they introduced
one that involved,
everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it doesn't need to be reprinted,
mm-hmm.
but I only ask because of the fact that it makes a very, you know, big introduction to a certain character. Basically, if anyone doesn't know, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, right, movie that's coming out, right, you should watch it in August.
Absolutely.
You really should. Dave Bautista aside, you should watch it. Right. However, what I do want to say is, of course, it's been a comic book for a while now. There's been a few different versions of the team. There's one from the 70s that doesn't really resemble these guys. Then there's a newer one that obviously resembles these guys. And then the newest series that came out for Guardians actually had, Iron Man on the team, which was weird because it's Iron Man, but it's okay. He basically answered a distress call, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That is how he basically was on the team, right? Kind of got roped into it. They were actually, it was in Iron Man 3, actually, they were going to have, if Robert Downey Jr. was going to continue having a really big role as Iron Man, we were actually going to have him, find a distress call from Star-Lord. It was on the moon, correct?
Yeah, he was going to fly to the moon and meet up with Star-Lord.
Yes.
And I don't remember the exact dialogue, but it was going to be something along the lines of Star-Lord coming out from behind some kind of spacecraft or something.
Yes.
And Stark says, I got your distress call. And Star-Lord would just say something like, good, because we could really use your help up here. And they were just going to cut it there.
Yes, meaning that obviously it was going to lead into, Tony being in Guardians because of the new lineup. However, we can assume that because of Robert Downey Jr. stepping back and wanting, less of an active role as an Avenger, as an actor for an Avenger, we now have just the normal Guardians, lineup for the newer teams. We don't have Stark in there. And, of course, if you notice, it was Mark Ruffalo in there being his therapist in a way.
Yeah.
Where, it was a very funny scene, but it's not one of those scenes that you would expect, to come up for because every single time they have one of those, you think, oh, what's coming next movie? What am I going to see in the next movie? Not, oh, it's Mark Ruffalo being funny.
Yeah.
Which is funny, which is great. But it wasn't what we expected for that reason. So, Tony Stark is a part of the Guardians. However, recently, he's been brought back to Earth. It's kind of funny. It ties in a bit with Superior Spider-Man in a way at the end of it. So now Tony's back on Earth, and he's introducing all of them to Corporal Thompson. Now, Corporal Thompson is Flash Thompson. Flash Thompson being Spider-Man's high school bully, Peter Parker's high school bully, who, if you don't know, grows up to use, he becomes part of the U.S. military. And even before he becomes part of the military, he actually uses... the Venom symbiote costume. He's one of the people that it controls. Many people forget that. Many people just think of Eddie Brock, mostly because of things like video games. But no, Flash Thompson also got the suit as well. And at this point, Flash, is currently, because he lost his legs in Iraq. And so, he had his own series recently, where it was a wonderful series, by the way. Definitely check out one of the newest Venom series with him as Venom. It was amazing, where he basically working for the military, not with the Avengers, mind you, but with the United States military in a covert operation, uses a symbiote suit to go into certain areas and basically, free them or fight villains and things like that under the radar. It was great. So now, though, the Avengers know about him, obviously. He's an Avenger. They're a bit more strict with him. So he's talking to Corporal. He's been upgraded because of his work, in the field. Now he's a Corporal, and he's talking to Tony about the Guardians. And it's very funny. I mean, I loved it. The exchanges between them were great.
Okay.
And, just to flip through a few, I think the fact that Tony was saying, never call Rocket a raccoon. Just don't
never,
do it.
Just never use the phrase in front of him, ever.
Yeah, no, and it's great because it's just, what is it? In fact, you would be very wise to not even use that word in front of him. He told me that the last guy who called him, all of a sudden, Corporal interjects, told you, as in he can speak? All he does is...
He does his speech.
Yes. And I have to say, genetically engineered not raccoon is just about the most tech-savvy son of a gun I've ever been around. And I've been around all of them. He also likes shooting bad people. You know?
And then I love that they just skip to a panel of him just giving you the thumbs up.
Yes, exactly. What I think is great is that he had already explained who both Star-Lord and who Drax were. So by the time he got to, you know, Rocket, you just have Thompson saying, like, are you sure you didn't dream this? Like, what are we, like, what's going on here?
My
and
favorite
he tells
was,
them,
well, go ahead.
Groot.
Yeah,
Groot,
Groot.
Wasn't it?
I loved the one he got to Groot. He's like, and then there's Groot. Groot, it's hard to describe, but he's basically a tree. A tree, well... Yeah, and does the tree talk? Kind of. He's like, I was actually joking. But apparently, all he says is, I am Groot. Like,
I am
that's
Groot.
All? He's like, that's all? That seems like a lot for a talking tree.
A lot of talking for a tree.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's great. I really enjoyed, and, you know, so he explains them all to Venom, you know, to Flash, and he says, so, you know, the reason why I'm telling you all this is because I would like to ask you if you would like to take my place on the team in space, and which was very shocking to me. I didn't see this coming.
Neither did I, actually.
Yeah, so all of a sudden it's just, you know, and of course I love you know, Flash's response. He's like, I don't know how I could say no. And he just, Tony screams, you said yes. Everyone walked in. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Just, oh, yeah. We were just in the other room chilling. Oh, this is great.
And then, of course, Rocket's like, no offense, but we kind of expected legs on him.
Yeah, oh, that was, and Star-Lord's like, Rocket, like, dude, like, shut up. And then Groot's great. Groot's just chilling. I think he's eating something that Jarvis has. In the comics, by the way, Jarvis is an actual butler. He's not a computer simulation. He's actually a butler. So, you know, he's eating something that Jarvis has. He's like, I am Groot. Just walking around the room. At one point, Groot introduces himself to a potted plant.
I was going to bring that
I'm
up
so
next.
Sorry.
I laughed so hard.
I was just laughing
so hard. It's like he's just patting it on the head.
Background. Yeah, just background stuff. Just, I am Groot in the background. Not even meant to be, you know, really just the foreground. But it was great.
Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of the Guardians from what I've read. I have to read more, yes, but I'm a big fan of what I've read, and hopefully this movie can really kind of bring people to understand why the Guardians are amazing. You know, why they're cool, and I think it'll, you know, it'll help. I mean, it's nice. Guardians are great, right? How do you get Guardians? So now talk to me about something that you got, because I know you got something that a DC title that I was unable to get.
Okay. This is called The New 52 Futures End. And it's it's really weird because it starts off where we're pretty much, I think it's 35 years from the future, in the future, in Central City. And we have no idea what's going on, but there's a really old Flash and Captain Cold, and they're running from bugs. And eventually they break through the door, and what I at least found laughable after reading they're running from bugs, there's a cybernetic spider with the upper body of Wonder Woman attached to it, with swords for hands, and there's another one behind her. I believe it's Blue
Beetle. I probably shouldn't be attracted to that, but from the way you're describing it, like, I think I'm really attracted to that.
Oh, I know. And I'm not sure who's behind it, but they just keep saying, I is all. I is order. Not like I, but like an actual eyeball. And they start running, but they begin to infect people. And as they scream after being stabbed or whatever, they just begin saying 1001 over and over. And at this point, you have no idea what's going on. Frankenstein shows up, and he sewed Black Canary's head to his chest.
What? First off, I'm also slightly attracted to that. Second, I would like everyone to understand that Frankenstein is an actual DC character. I don't know. I assume it's because, you know, Frankenstein is public domain. But yes, Frankenstein exists in the DC universe.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty intelligent. He is also a scientist himself, but is also, you know, the Frankenstein, you know, the Frankenstein's monster that we all know.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, it's just, I need people to understand that. So when they think like Frankenstein, it's like, oh, like a, no. It's think Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein, that is who he is. And as you mentioned, Black Canary, who is, you know, the, if you don't know, if you watch Arrow and you think, oh, hey, look, Arrow's girlfriend with the blonde hair. Yeah, that's Black Canary. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
So her head, right?
Yeah,
it's
sewed to his chest, and right now he has, like, the Flash kind of pinned down against all of the bugs, as they call them, and he said, what did you do to Canary? And Frankenstein just looks at him, and he says, brother, I showed me the way. I have made her a part of me, not all of her, but just her lovely voice. And he unleashes the scream onto the Flash.
No!
I know. So that infects him. And then we just cut to, it looks like Batgirl, who's also been infected. Pretty much everybody is infected at this point. They go through all the different places of the DC Universe. We see Gotham City with Batgirl infected. We see Paradise Island with all the Amazons infected. We go to Atlantis. Aquaman's infected. We go to London, and Constantine is also infected. So then we cut...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's extremely interesting. I mean, such a stupid concept, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, I know. And then we get to Metropolis, also 35 years into the future. And it's John Stewart and Blue Beetle. They're acting as a diversionary tactic in order to let, Grifter and some other person whose name I don't know, try to get into the Firestorm battery, which is pretty much powering Brother Eye and all of the infected. So Blue Beetle is the first to get taken down. And John Stewart gets taken down, and this blew me away, by an infected Superman.
Well, I assumed as much.
And John Stewart just looks at him, and he says, when you went missing, we feared the worst, but this can't be you. And Superman just looks at him, and all he says to him is, assimilation initiated. And he infects John Stewart through his mouth. So we cut back to Grifter.
I assumed he would be taken, because here's the thing. If Superman isn't taken... Then, in my opinion, the battle's kind of won, in a way.
Well, the thing is, I didn't think he would be taken. I figured they would have just been, he's too much of a power, we have to just kill him. So I didn't think he'd be taken, I figured he'd be just dead. But then we get back, and the Grifter and whoever was with him fail. So now we cut to Wayne Manor, and it's old Bruce Wayne and Terry McGinnis. And they pretty much have this thing set up to go back in time, and we find out that Brother Eye was created by Bruce Wayne and Mr. Terrific. Kind of like a Hank Pym Ultron thing where it wasn't really intentional.
Right.
So before they can get back in time, they set the clocks to send them back, but then more of the bugs come. This time it's like Deathstroke, some other Batman from different dimensions or whatever. And halfway through the fight, Batman's right arm is cut off. So because of this, he has to give the time travel device to Terry McGinnis and send him back. He gets sent back, but the problem is the coordinates are wrong. He's been sent back 5 years after the time he's supposed to go. And because of that, everything that he was supposed to stop has already started.
Okay. My question is, this can't be canon, right?
I have no idea at this point.
Okay, no, because Eternal is technically considered canon, and whatever, it's not. I mean, there isn't anything glaring about it other than the fact that it's another post-apocalyptic event. That you know, it's like, oh no, it's going to be the end of the world. Other than that, though, okay, you know, it's all right, fine. Ready, you know, right?
I mean, it very well can be canon. It is 35 years into the future.
I know, I feel like it's upsetting when they try to really use the future nowadays. When you think, guys. That's never worked for you. We have a sliding timeline.
That's
never worked for you. Like, don't go into the future. Look at Cable. Ready? Cable was never a good idea.
Never.
No. At the time, I can understand why. But again, everyone makes mistakes. You learn from them. So DC learned from Marvel's mistakes and vice versa. So you can't go into the future anymore. Yes, I know you have certain characters that are already from there. Keep them around or kill them. Okay. But don't start to introduce more. Don't start to introduce more futuristic scenarios. I mean, honestly, DC is starting to really upset me because while I think this is, okay, while this is intriguing me, I will admit, so fair enough, right? You got me in, okay. But the thing that gets me not even wanting to pick up the first issue is the simple fact that this is another apocalyptic scenario. Like, why can't we just have a major event where some villains want to destroy the world, but don't have to, you know, get to the point where it's like, all right, they've done it already. It's like, now it's the heroes fighting back. No, there's so much wanton, you know, wanton death and destruction that I just feel as if it's getting to the point where I don't feel as if the heroes are ever winning, even when they win, because there aren't even enough people to repopulate the Earth. Oh, God, what am I? Someone from Car Ranger? The Earth, it just feels as if it's just, there's no one left to repopulate the Earth, and it just gets me so upset. Because it's just really, like, it's every single event ever, even in normal issues, going to be, and then the city was destroyed. But it's okay, because now, 5 years later, it was rebuilt. Like, but the people in this city died, right? Can you not remember that? I mean, Gotham just had Forever Evil.
Yeah.
Well, technically, still having Forever Evil, technically. But
we have a few more
what
weeks.
I'm saying is, right, yes. What I'm saying, though, is Gotham had, I was mostly referring to Arkham War. It had that arc. Now, all of a sudden, it's Batman Eternal, which technically isn't the future. Because while the end happens in the future, technically, you know, the whole, like, oh, everything's exploding and dying, still, this whole, you know, oh, no, Marshall, you know, oh, no, Batman, we have to only search for him. Everyone else, you know, is whatever. That is, you know, their current timeline, where it's like, okay, so now another one of these. And now we have Future's End. It's just, I feel like it's very repetitive.
I mean, my main issue was when they got to the point with Batman and Batman Beyond, and his Batman Beyond just says, because going into the past to stop Brother Eye from ever being built sounds insane. And Bruce Wayne's like, well, yes, but remember, you have to kill him. I'm like, oh, so this is DC's Age of Ultron. Got it. It's just, yeah, it really
true,
just
way,
seems
yeah.
copy and pasted from that.
Exactly, that too. I mean, and it sucks because I am a huge fan of Terry McGinnis. I love Batman Beyond. While I have not, sadly, been able to look at it via comic book form, you know, believe me, once I get to rewatch the series via Netflix, actually. It's on Netflix. Mm. Oh, yeah, look at that. Once I get to rewatch the series via Netflix, you all can bet your asses I'm going to jump on some comic books. You know, I'm going to just want to make sure to get it back into my system and then read the hell out of everything. But yes, but still, and it sucks because it's such a great character to use for something like this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sadly we don't have that much time left. Wow, we don't have that much time left. But don't worry, we'll wrap up a few things quick. Today, I was able to look at Avatar: The Last Airbender. Yes, there was a free comic released for it. It was actually about Sokka and walking around town with... Oh, no. I do not remember her name. The Kyoshi Warrior.
Suki.
Thank you. All I remember is Kyoshi Warrior. That's all I remembered. Either way, they're adorable together. They're actually dating.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's been alluded to in the series, but no, they're actually talking about being each other's boyfriend and girlfriend, and it's actually really cute. And apparently they save this girl from a really jerk shopkeeper she's like a little girl. And what she's trying to do is she's trying to just buy some clamshells, but the shopkeeper is saying, oh, you know, because he's very chauvinistic, so he's like, you know, being sexist, like, oh, no, you're a little girl, you know nothing about this. And then when, you know, Suki's trying to kind of fight back just with words, they're like, oh, you're being mean, your boyfriend better keep you in check. So a lot of stupid stuff. And then, you know, it's a bit of a girl power issue, but I really enjoy it because, you know, she starts to tell this little girl about the history of the Avatar, where the older Avatar, you know, back when she would see things like this, she would walk around and start training these women, just like how Suki is offering to train this little girl. And apparently, those people that were trained, they became the original Kyoshi Warriors. So yeah, it was very interesting, and I was a really big fan. So, and it was a very short story because it actually has another series in it. It has Itty Bitty Hellsing, or Itty Bitty Hellboy. Oh, man, I thought Hellsing. That would be adorable, though. Itty Bitty Hellsing would be adorable. But yeah, Itty Bitty Hellboy, and it's great. It's only 2 pages long. And Hellboy goes up to this character named Rasputin, who's a ghost. And he's like, I was wondering, what kind of creature are you?
Creature, I'm a ghost.
A ghost, huh? Nope, I'm not buying it. Hold on a second. Throws chains on him. If you're going to be a ghost, you need to be more believable. Go ahead, rattle those chains a bit. Now you have to moan a little. Moan. More. Moan. That's better. Throw the sheet over him.
What the? But Hellboy, I don't need a sheet. I'm already a ghost.
Sure you are. Puts him into a coffin.
Hellboy, get me out of this coffin.
Coughing? Hold on, Rasputin. I got something for that.
Throws cough syrup into his mouth. Opens it. Throws cough syrup. Closes it down.
That should quiet him. Quiet down the coffin.
He's just screaming.
I just want to say, I love that your Hellboy sounds like a congested Stanley.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's
no,
what
no, no,
it sounds
I love
like.
That, though.
Okay. Also, a little thing I picked up. I was unable to read it. Les Mis. Les Miserables, The Fall of Fantine. I picked it up for the lady. However, I will be reading it myself because I am a fan. I sadly did not get to see the play. Please don't shoot me. But I did get to see the movie, which means nothing, really. I should see the play. Also, I was able to pick up Shigeru Mizuki's Showa, A History of Japan. Did not get to read that yet, but I really want to read it. It's actually, the art style is very cool because, at least at first, it looked a bit like it was inspired the creator of the creator of Astro Boy, who is I don't know if you know this, he's very big in Japan. He's huge. It's Osamu Tezuka,
yeah.
who he's done a lot of different series, and it kind of looks like some of the art was inspired by him at first. But anyway, so we had that, and we have The Tick. I did not get to read this yet, but however you did, in 3 minutes, explain The Tick.
Okay, so The Tick is actually really good. I've never read an actual Tick comic prior to this. It seems like a really big, it just seems like it parodies other issues. Like, this whole thing was about trying to get a bottled city from an alien spacecraft and bring it back to Earth and kind of resize it back to normal. There were a lot of inside jokes referring to, like, Superman and Brainiac. I got a real Batman and Robin sense from Tick, and I can't remember the other person's name, but it's just a really funny comic, and I definitely check it out. What?
Yes, no, White Tick. That's what he looks on the
name?
Cover. It's Tick. No, it's Tick and White Tick. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. No, I haven't read one either, but I really want to start after even just looking at a couple of pages of this and now hearing your description of it, which is great, because the second you mentioned the small city, I immediately thought about Brainiac.
Yeah.
So
and
I...
The Tick himself actually reminds me a lot of the Crimson Chin, which is just fantastic.
So basically what you're saying is everyone needs to get The Tick in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone. Also, I myself want to see the live-action version. I've heard very bad things about it, but I also am a big fan of Patrick Warburton. Yes. Oh,
oh,
yeah, Fox did it a while ago. Look
I
into
had
that.
No idea.
I didn't hear good things about it, but look into that.
Sure.
Yes. So, we have reached the end of our show. I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. I would like to thank Danny for calling in. Please remember, call in the future. We definitely love hearing from you. Like our Facebook page, Those Guys on the Radio is the URL, or just search us up on Those Guys. You know, we always post about our newest episodes. And, yeah, Tomorrow's Sunday. Tomorrow at 11 p.m. Yes, 11, not 11. 11 p.m. Myself, Satish Ram and Ashley Colpan will be doing an Extreme Rules podcast right after the pay-per-view ends on the WWE Network. Definitely get the WWE Network. Sadly, Dish and any of your satellite providers are not providing Extreme Rules for you. So if you're a WWE fan, definitely either get it on the network or get it via your local cable provider. Definitely get the network. It's definitely a great investment. I'm a big fan of it. And that is all. So I was like, thank you guys. And, happy Free Comic Book Day.
Enjoy the day. Happy Free Comic Book Day.
Yes. All right, everyone. Signing out.
Batman. Batman. Batman.